I want to thank you all for being here, especially during this session. Everything that we've done in this Freedom Series is built to this point, to this session. It's what we're focusing on, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to come inside, to change, right? To fill us. So all during this season and all during your Christian walk, the Lord's helped us to take some things out of our heart. But if we take something out, we don't put something back in, it's dangerous. So when we take things out, we want the Holy Spirit to fill that void. I want to begin in Acts chapter 19. And Paul was in Corinth. He was traveling along visiting the churches that he had planted. He was in Corinth, which is also where we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians from. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, and now he's going to check out another church that he started. And then here in Acts chapter 19, beginning in the part V of verse 1 and through 2a, he said there were some disciples there, and he asked them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" This is an interesting question, since and that's what I want to ask you today. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? Acts 19:2b says, and they answered, "No, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism had you received?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that's in Jesus. Okay, let's stop right here. So we want to understand that these people were saved. These are disciples, that's what it refers to. They had come to know the Lord Jesus. They had asked the Lord to be in their heart, or they surrendered their life to him, but they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit or had not have received the Spirit. They had received the baptism, but it was unto repentance. As a matter of fact, in this place, it doesn't even say actually about water baptism. They're just talking about the baptism of repentance. This is where I want to separate myself from the world and join to God's family by faith in Jesus. Acts 19:5 says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in water, though it's not listed here. And when Paul had placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Okay? I want to show you the same type of story in another place in the Bible. Let's flip over to Acts, if you have in your Bible or on that sheet. Acts chapter 8, setting the context here, you understand there's two different experiences. The experience of salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Jesus the Messiah there. So they were preaching. And not just to his disciples, a lot of people were preaching. But if you skip down to verse 12, it says, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So when they were baptized, this is the water baptism. Now let's skip down to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of the Lord, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Okay? And the apostles wanted to see that this revival that was happening there with the people. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 15, and when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Again, two separate experiences where there was salvation and where they received the Holy Spirit. They were already Christians, but they had not received, as far as what I'm saying, a part of the Holy Spirit. So Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved? Yes, you do. Okay? But they didn't prophesy or speak in tongues. So there's two different experiences here. So I want us to be clear about this. When anybody gets saved, is the Holy Spirit on the inside of people? Yes. But you see these in these accounts, two separate experiences. The Holy Spirit, if you want to say, came in a different way. When Peter and John placed their hands on, they received the Holy Spirit. God wants salvation to be simple, by faith. It's a free gift through Jesus, no works attached. None. It's a free gift. You don't have to do anything. And you don't have to, if you want to say, you don't have to receive the Holy Spirit. In this way, you receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, but the prophesying or the speaking tongue, it's a separate thing. But here's the thing, you don't have to receive a good marriage either, do we? And you don't have to receive a good attitude. He never puts works attached to salvation, ever. It's a free gift. But God has a lot more than salvation for us. Right? Have you ever... This song, I love this song. We asked that you did a great job. Everybody did. Show me your face. There's a lot more than just being saved. Let me just say, God is... He created all these things. Do you think there's much more? You know, I know some very smart people, and they can't tell you this in the universe, how far it is from one universe to the next universe. And the universe is always expanding. God is a great big God. There's a lot more that God has for you and I. Morgan was talking about it. There's abundant life. Here's the thing. How many of us would say, I live an abundant life? How many say, I walk in perfect freedom? You know, I love our country. I can get in my car today and I can drive for thousands of miles across different states, different cities, all because we have a free country. But can we say that spiritually? I hope we can. That's what we've done this whole conference for, is that we can live in freedom. We can have abundant life, spiritually speaking. That's what I want all of us to do. I believe there's a lot more. God wants you and I to have much more, and here's some things that I'll list for you. He wants us to be healed. I have a lot of people, they believe they get saved, right? No problem. They accept it. But then they don't believe they can get healed. Like, God can save. God can heal. God can deliver. God's got a purpose for us. He's got a calling for us. And I'm just saying there's a lot more that God has for us. And none of these things come with salvation. Healing doesn't come with... It can, but healing doesn't come with salvation. Right? The salvation is free. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. I firmly believe you're going to need power, though, of God working in our life, especially nowadays, which is where I'm headed to when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You're going to need something more in this life to be successful. God wants to help you to have power. How many of us need power beyond our own? I know I do. But here's the thing. I hate to tell you this. I know we went through this conference and today, and we got, you know, victory in many areas. But let me just say to you, you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to bring it all right back around. And you say, well, Pastor Mark, I want you to be positive. Let me say, I'm positive that the enemy wants to bring it right back around to you. Rejection, shame, that's what he's wanting to do. He wants you to go back into some old things. He wants to have shame and guilt. But the Lord wants us to live a life of freedom and abundance. And I believe that that comes from walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And why do we need big power beyond ourselves? We need something else so that we will not fall. Or we'll fall prey to the enemy all over again. We see this clearly in Peter's life, right? Peter walked, right? Peter was kind of a mouthy type A personality, right? I'm going with you, Lord. I'm here. I'm with you all the way to the end. And yet when at the end, what did he do? Three times he denied him. But here's what, right? 50 days later, what's happening? He's getting up in front of 3,000 people and facing death. They just killed Jesus. Facing death, he preaches to people and 3,000 people get saved. Before he's denying Jesus, now he's preaching Jesus. 50 days. What's the difference? He had the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a wonderful thing that we can receive. Everyone can. But God has more for us than just being saved. So Jesus is on the earth for these these 3 years, right? And he gets to the place of the cross. He's crucified. He dies. He's buried. At this point with salvation, before Jesus died on the cross, what you had to do for your sins, you had to take an animal down. They slit its throat. They had, and it just covered your sins for that time. It did nothing like what Dan was preaching about your shame. Your sins are forgiven, but you still felt like terrible. And here's the thing. Next year, you got to go back and do it all over again. Once Jesus died, there's nothing else to be done. It's finished as far as our sins go. Our guilt, our shame, if we'll allow it, it's all gone. No more sacrifices are needed. One sacrifice for all of that. But what does God say? We're going to look at that. Now that your sins are paid for and Jesus is resurrected, there's no more guilt. So Jesus spends the next 40 days after his death, resurrection, right, here on earth. And this is a cool part because it must have been a great foreshadowing of things to come, right? Now, those disciples didn't have to live in shame. Peter didn't have to live in shame and guilt of denying the Lord. He didn't have to go do another animal sacrifice. He just had to accept what Jesus did for him. He showed up to his disciples, right? Right, the disciples are in a room, they're closed up for fear of the Jewish people. And he just pops into the room. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, just Lord didn't come through the door, just he's here. Jesus is coming back. He left from the Mount of Olives. Guess what? He's going to land on the Mount of Olives when he came back. I went to see that Mount of Olives because I wanted to be there on the landing strip at least one time. He's coming back. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together and the doors were locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus all the time speaking. That's what it says in Numbers. Jesus comes to show it. He tells you, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives peace." Right? They got to be freaking out, though. You know? All of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus. Yeah. He's got holes in his hands. Exactly. And show him. Right? That's what he does. He shows them that here's my hands. Here's my side. Yeah. And they're overjoyed at that time. It turns sadness into joy. Boom. Verse 21 says, and again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. For the Father has sent me. Guess what? I'm sending you. So Jesus has showed up. Boom. Get this picture. Boom. Jesus showed up in our heart. Boom. One time he's not there. The next time he is there. And he says, the Father sent me. I'm sending you. And at that, he breathed on them. And what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. Again, are they saved? Were they saved at this point when Jesus comes into the room? Very clearly, they're all saved. But now he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. But is that the end of the story? Is there some more story about the Holy Spirit? I believe so. They had this incredible honor of being the first Christians, if you wanted to say, under heaven to be living, right, with this deal of no more shame, guilt, rejection. It's got to be great. And so at that very moment, they received the Holy Spirit. In order to study these stories, though, we'll study some of the four Gospels. And this particular story in one of the Gospels that we're that's going to happen almost every time, there's going to be a detail that one Gospel leaves out. Here's the deal. Have you ever talked to anybody that's eyewitness? You can have four people look at the same thing, right? And they tell you the story, and they're different stories. So in these accounts, one will leave a detail out or add a detail. So that's what's going to happen here. But we're going to look at these stories. So what's going on here? Let's read exactly the same story, but a different writer. Pick up one detail that John didn't include because it'll piece it all together. So we're going to do this three times. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36, if you have it there. While they were still talking, Jesus stood among them. Right? Same story. So the same story, they popped through the wall. And what does he say here? Peace be with you. And we know that John's gospel is at this very moment, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But what? Watch verse 49, because it's like John didn't include this. In chapter 24, verse 49, he says, now I'm going to send you the promise of the Father's promise, right? See, I thought they already received the Holy Spirit. Do you want to say they're going to receive the promise? But here's the deal. We'll just keep going. And he says, I'm going to. It's future tense. I'm going to send you. He says, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with. Okay. So here he breathes on them, right? When they got saved, did they have the Holy Spirit? When anybody gets saved, they got the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. But here he's saying, I want you to go wait in the city until you receive what? Power. Power, right? Everyone say power. So they got the Holy Spirit, but they needed to get another level of power from on high. I need that, right? Listen, and I hope you realize this. I hope you realize how close we are to the Lord's coming back. I'll say it this way, very simply. We're closer to the Lord's coming back than you and I think. Because he tells us like this, in the hour that you think, not. And like a thief in the night, the Lord's going to come back. He says, I want to do something else to him. He's going to help you while you're here on earth. That's what he's telling the disciples, basically. I want to send you something that's going to help you, right? The Holy Spirit Salvation gets us to heaven, but all these things are about something that we do on earth. When Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and came upon Jesus. Now we're going to read the story one more time in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We were just... After his suffering, that is the cross, it says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and he gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. What were those proofs again? Hands in the side, right? And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on this occasion, while he was eating with him, he gave them this command. Now look, here's some more details, right? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father that he has promised, the gift that the Father's promised, which you have heard me speak about from John. There's the baptism in water, that's salvation, but in a few days you will, again, future tense, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He used a new word here. He didn't say to receive the Holy Spirit. He said you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let me give you an analogy. This cup of water there. Would you hold that cup of that glass of water up? So you can have this water, right? This container, and it's full of water, right? So it's filled with water. So the Holy Spirit or the water can be on the inside of you. But if you take that container and you put it in the swimming pool, right? There's water on the inside and water on the outside. It's baptized. Baptism, it's kind of like, if you want to say, it's like pickling. It's so that every part of you, it's permeated. That's what it is. Every part of you, inside, outside, in between layers. Everything is baptized. That's a difference in baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you can receive a new level of power. Say that again?
Is there levels?
Oh yeah, certainly. Right? Well, let me put it this way. It's a great question. Do you know the Lord better than you did when you first started this journey? Are you closer to the Lord? Just think about the distance from there to here and where you can be. That's one way to perceive it. But here's the thing. Again, and I say this, I want to do this one brief thing. Anybody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, would you raise your hand? Don't you look around the room, okay? Don't you look around the room, okay? These people are not perfect, right? And the reason I pointed this out, we are not better than anybody that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just get that. A person that's not filled with the Holy Spirit is not a second-class Christian. Okay? I point this out, though. If you look at these stories, what did they do? What did Paul do? They laid their hands. Peter and John, right? And Paul, what did they do? They laid their hands on people and prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason I pointed that out to everybody. Right? Somehow or another, they had power, right, that they could help somebody else with. That's the only reason I pointed that out to you. And here's the deal. I don't want you to ever feel like I'm manipulating anybody into saying that this is what you have to do. Let me encourage you the best way I can. And also point this out to you that are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like, I feel like we have a lot more expectations. Or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me just say that. If you get to feeling all high and mighty, I'm just going to say, I think you got a lot of responsibility. And I'll put it even more plainly. I believe right now is the crucial time to be able to battle the enemy using the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'll tell somebody that I'm going to pray for them sometimes. Is I can say, I don't know if you believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm about to speak in tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues because it's not for the show for them. It's that I'm saying I'm about to go to war. This is serious stuff. And so I just encourage everybody that they can to, here's the deal. If you want more of God, God's got more for you. And that's what I'm just pointing out in these stories. I believe there's different levels, if you want to say, of the presence of the Lord. Okay? Doesn't mean anybody's better than it. And if you want to say it this way, I think it comes with a lot of responsibility. He said, as I, Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then you look in other places like this. If you really want to know this, here's the deal. It says, go and suffer. Or it's, one guy said it like this. Jesus says, come and die with me. That's what he's saying. Come on. Let's go. You want some more? I got some more for you. But it could be death. Are you willing to die for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And his presence and more of him. Mm-hmm. There's more demons
that comes with
him. Let me just say it. Well, let me listen.
The more I have asked for God's power and his glory over the years, the more demons came.
You know. I'm going to say it a different way. There were some attacks from the enemy.
Yeah.
Okay. Is anybody experienced the closer you got to the Lord, the more, it's like, I stepped in it. That's one way of putting it. Yeah. So here's again, saying this, we're not saying that for you to be afraid. I'm not telling you any of those things. I'm telling you that to be prepared. Right? That's what we want to do with the kids, right? Why do you tell your kids what you tell them? To prepare them for what's ahead. Laugh at, what did you say? What's your quote?
Oh, this cakewalk ain't no faith walk. The faith walk ain't a cakewalk. Oh, yeah.
This is a faith walk, it's not a cakewalk. Right?
Write it down, Mike.
Yeah.
if it's levels to it, every level got a devil.
Yeah.
If you went up a level, you've also got.
Well, it's just what Morgan was saying, right? We know what the enemy comes to do, but the Lord has come to give you life and life more abundantly, right? So if he punches you. Here we're talking about in spiritual. It ain't like, don't turn the other cheek. Punch him back. It's on now. You want some of this? Come on.
If you imbued with the Holy Spirit, he can't knock the wind out of you.
Nope.
Exactly. You ready?
Yeah. Amen. He can knock you down, but he can't overcome you. Right. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And then it says, we're not afraid even to death. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to go to these verses before I close. That Paul is speaking to one of the local churches that he planted, and he says, When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come to you in with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. In other words, I didn't rely on my intellects, my Bible school degree, my ability to make fine points, or the excellence of praise and worship. I want you to notice that Paul, even through this argument, could have been made that he was probably one of the top people. But he said, I didn't come to you with all that stuff. He says, Paul's basically saying, you've got to have a whole lot more than that. For our resolve is to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling, and my message in my preaching were not persuasive and wise words. Let me see if we can really explain it to you. You can just say is he saying, can I appeal to your enough to your mind to be successful? Paul's no. I can't appeal to anybody's mind enough to him, right? But he says you're going to need more. I came to you with demonstrations of the Spirit's power. That's the way he came to him. In demonstrations of power. Now, it didn't go all the details of what those demonstrations of power was, but that's what we need, is power. So that your faith does not rest in me. Your faith can't rest on me or any other Christian. It can't rest upon the Apostle Paul. Right? It's got to rest in God's power. You're going to face things and you're going to need power. I'm desperate for it, are you? I know what I can do, and I'm here to tell you it's not enough. Verse 6 says, we do have her speak a message of wisdom among the what? That's important right there. He did speak a message, but it's to the mature. He says, now we give you this, but this something you have is for those that are already deeper. It's for the mature. But not the wisdom of, goes on to say this, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing. No, he says, we speak God's, watch this word. What does it say? Yeah. Because it really says this, secret wisdom or hidden wisdom. So not everybody has that. Not everybody has the secret wisdom. Again, the rulers of this world, right? They don't have it. They don't get it. In other words, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't have this wisdom. That's interesting that God has destined it for us, even this secret wisdom. This hidden, he's destined it for who? For us. What does he say, though? He's destined it for what? Our glory. That's an interesting phrase. Think we give all the glory to God, but did you know that God wants to give glory to come upon you and me? Isaiah says, rise, shine, let the glory of the Lord rise upon you. Why? Because darkness covers the earth and he needs his Christians to be empowered. He needs a glory of on God, but not just on him, but on us too. When Moses came down from the mountain, whose face shone? Didn't he have to put a veil over his face? Was that a foreshadowing of what the Lord wants? He wants us to shine forth here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, none of the rulers of this world, of this age, understood it, for how they understood it, how could they understand it? They would not have crucified Christ. If they understood it, they wouldn't have killed Jesus. That was the worst mistake the enemy could have ever made. Because there's hidden wisdom. However, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor is it, nor no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love the Lord? Your ear hadn't heard, your eye hadn't seen, nor your mind. You don't know what God's prepared for you. He knows. We don't. Some say this is about heaven, but it doesn't say anything about heaven there, does it? God has something for you. The word for glory in Hebrew is kabod. Do you know what that's supposed to mean? What is that? Anybody know? It's the full weight. It's the full weight. God's glory. He wants it on us. But here's the thing. Can we receive it in the natural? We can't receive it in the natural. We are limited in the natural. This body, we're limited. Even, right, we have a mind, a will, and our emotions. Can that handle it? No. But we are made in God's image, right? Who breathed into us? He did. We have God's Spirit. When our spirit talks directly to God's Spirit, when we communicate spirit to spirit, our spirit has that capacity. Why? Because it's His capacity. There's a dilemma here, if you wanted to say, that we have a hard time understanding that we can operate in the realm that God wants us to. May I go back to it? No eyes seen, no ears heard, nor is it entered into our mind what God has for us that love Him. But He's got something for us, much more. And let me just say, personally, it's a, if you want to say, crazy times, but I believe we're at the end of time, and I believe God's got something special for us to do, to shine, and show the glory of the Lord. To be able to receive the weight of the Lord, the kabod, the glory of the Lord, so that other people see it, and to perform what God wants us to do. It's important for us to see, to understand, we have to, or need the full weight of God. So why do we pray in a heavenly language? To be goofy? To be weird? No. It's the spirit-to-spirit communication with God. If we could come up with the words, wouldn't we come up with the words? The problem is, we can't come up with the words. God has to give us words. If we could come up with the words, and here's the thing, even when you get filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit and you speak in a heavenly language, you know what a lot of times we do? A lot of times we try to mess with it. We try to filter it. We try to change it. We try to cut it short or extend it. You ever seen anybody do that? We're still here, that's right. When we communicate with God in a heavenly language, there's no messing up. Romans 8 and 16 says, our spirit testifies with God's spirit, so that there are many times my mind doesn't testify with God. See, here's the thing. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I can still get mad at somebody. And if I get mad at somebody, is that what God's Spirit's wanting? No, it's not. So it's not testifying what God's saying. But the Spirit is always testifying directly to God. Romans 8:26 says, we testify that God with groans and words that cannot be expressed in language. And we pray in the heavenly language, we are actually praying in the perfect will of the Father. That's what it says. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14, when I pray in the tongue, my spirit praises, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, my mind doesn't even know what's going on. What shall I do? Do both. Do both. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14:4. I mean, 14:14. Yeah. So let me ask you, sometimes when I'm speaking in tongues, right, then I'll stop and speak in English when I'm praying for somebody. Then I'll pick back up in tongues. Don't get confused. You can do both. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. I pray in the Spirit, which is the perfect will of the Father, and I also pray in my own mind. Let's finish it in Corinthians 2, 10b through 12. It says, the Spirit searches all things. So when we're praying the Spirit and connecting with God in that way, we're searching all things, even the deep things of God. For who among you knows the thoughts of men except the Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we the Spirit who is from God, that we might, I love this, understand what God wants to freely give us. Let me say it this way. Until we connect with Him spirit to spirit, you never fully understand the glory or the weight of the Lord. God wants to deposit it on each one of us, each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians 2:13-16, this is what we speak. Watch this. Not in words taught to us through human wisdom. I don't even care even if somebody tried to tell you this, how to speak in tongues. They can't do it. It's not through any man's abilities or wisdom. It's going to be the language that's not only to be a native language. In other words, taught by the Spirit, expressly spiritual truth is spiritual words. The man without spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, they are foolishness. You ever had anybody say, those people are foolish over there? Well, guess who's really the foolish ones? Yeah. Because they can't be, they're not discerning it. We cannot understand them because they are spiritually, what does it say? They're spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? It says this, get this last part. It says, but we have the mind of, what does it say? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That's what we want, isn't it? I remember Brian said this one Sunday morning. He said, I don't think in Bible. What was he saying, right? He didn't process things the way he needed to in the Bible. But really, I mean, all of us are growing in the mind of Christ. But just to think of it that way, we have the mind of Christ. If we've accepted the Lord and we've surrendered to Him, then we have the mind of Christ. We think like Christ. God is awesome. It's not something goofy. It's actually something that we need. It's necessary. And we pray the way the Spirit connects with God directly. Some people receive this when they're praying for asking for the Holy Spirit. Some people receive it very quickly. Some not so much. It may take some time. Again, I just encourage us to ask for it. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, out of your belly, this is interesting, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Yeah. Some people describe it that. This is the Spirit. Where's the Spirit? It's not here. Right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions, that's our soul. Where's our Spirit? Right there. Women, if you want to know how to get to a man's heart. Exactly. Paul said in the Bible, he said this, I speak in tongues more than you all. Was he saying that to brag? No, I believe he was saying that as an example for us. If you want to win the victory, If you want to be able to sing at midnight when you're locked up in jail and you're in chains, you got to be able to be speaking in a heavenly language. I'm just saying, I believe that. To open yourself up to this wonderful language is not to be a wild fanatic. It's not to be preoccupied with health or wealth or to be a groupie that goes from revival to revival. Okay? It's about being powerful. We receive this in Jesus' name, this dimension of Christian living for those who want Christ's presence and power in fierce and evil times. And I believe that's where we're at. I believe we need it for right now. And there may be some confusion, you know, in the scriptures we're talking about in Corinthians, right? It says there's a gift of tongues. Is a gift of tongues, right? In the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does it say about faith? We also read that today, right? There's a gift of faith. The Lord said everybody has a measure of faith, right? I believe there's a gift of tongues, and the gift of tongue is for a specific or special use. It's for a specific time. It's targeted, just like the gift of faith is. All of us have faith. And let me just say this. I believe that all of us can be filled or increase these levels of the Holy Spirit and the power. I speak in tongues, but I don't necessarily have the gift of tongues, you want to say. Okay? I don't know where I gave a tongue out and then somebody else interpreted it. We're talking about a heavenly language between you and God, and it's available to everyone. So how do you receive it? You just ask for it. Ask. You know, here's the thing. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I'll just give you one little story. If you ever see my leg down here, it's cut from one side to the other. And it was cut like that when I was 8 years old, and my leg was about as big as my arm. And I fell outside, and I came in, they lifted my pants leg up, and this lady, she was a larger lady. I mean, I bet she jumped that high off the ground, and she started speaking in tongues, you know? But I never really had, I went and had stitches in there, but I'll never forget that. That lady had power, you know? And when we need power, we need people that have power. And so I encourage you. But again, here's the deal. I don't want to ever, you know, I was a salesman, and I got sold some insurance one time, and I never lacked pressure salesman, okay? Right? Now, I understand being a good salesman and being good at what you're doing, right? A good salesman, somebody never I never sold them anything they bought from me, okay? So here's the deal. I'm not trying to sell you today. I'm not trying to pressure anybody into being filled with the Holy Spirit as far as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, and hopefully have showed you in the Scripture, that there's different things about the Holy Spirit and that you can have this if you want to, okay? So I want to encourage you, if you want to, we're going to pray in a few minutes and we're going to ask if that's what you want. And I had these people lift their hands, so sometimes just keep praying. Keep praying. And then sometimes you get people to pray for you. I'm skipping around in my notes. So here's some things. So number one about receiving the Holy Spirit is remove all these barriers that may be keeping you from receiving the Holy Spirit. And we say this, and from freedom. See, there's nothing to me if you've confessed these things, you've forgiven people that you've needed to forgive, and you've got some things out of your way. There's nothing keeping you from it. But let me just say it this way. There's nothing else to confess. You've already accepted Jesus. hopefully you got rid of the guilt and the shame, accepted those things. And there's not barriers of sin. But here's the deal. Sometimes there's barriers of doctrine. That's not what I was taught when I grew up. Matter of fact, some people say if you have the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, that you're demon-possessed. Okay? So here's the deal. Whatever you may have been taught in the past, that may be a barrier to you receiving the gifts of the Spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It can be a hang-up. Number two. Just like salvation, it's a free gift. Just ask for it. Number three, you just have to receive it. It's like I said, God can write you the check, but if you don't deposit it, it doesn't go into your account. You got to receive it. The Lord tells us, right? He said, which of us, if a child asks, he says, you ask for a fish, you give him a snake? No. Or if you ask for an egg, you give him a scorpion? No. It says, if then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? See, there's no conditions to it other than if you want to say asking for it. Receive it. Like any other gift, open it up. It's not going to take control of your body, though. Right? You know, you have to go ahead and receive it, knowing that it's the truth. It's the Word of God. If you want to say maybe worship's recommended. Finally, four is release your prayer language. Nobody's going to make you speak. You can't keep your mouth closed and speak in a heavenly tongue. Right? You can't do it. You have to just let the Lord speak through you. And again, it's not going to be in your native language. Otherwise, we mess it up. We would try and control it. To me, it's where God shows himself very special. Is there another step? No. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Can we close our eyes and maybe just reach our hands towards heaven? And can we pray together? Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I glorify your holy name. Lord, you're holy and righteous and true, and beside you there is none other. I thank you for every person here and for those that have received the freedom from these sessions. And I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit.